is coming from four parts in the Bible, starting off at 1 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 1 to 4. And it reads, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt." 1 Samuel chapter 23 from verse 15 to 18. And it reads, "So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, 'Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that.' So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house." 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. "I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women." And finally, John chapter 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Our sermon topic today is Jonathan, a covenant brother, and it is part of our first quarter theme, which is the impact of unsung heroes in the Bible. And our speaker today is our very own brother, Uncle Chima Ibenechi.
Good morning, church. Let me sort out a few electronic things. Yeah. Today, we are discussing Jonathan, a covenant friend, a covenant brother. I think you're discussing me. My middle name is Jonathan. So when I was asked to speak about Jonathan today, it was personal. And again, today is my wife's birthday, so today is very special for me as I share this word with you. We just read various passages. The story of Jonathan and David is very moving in very many ways. Two men, one a prince, the other a shepherd, whose lives crossed in very abnormal ways. And for some reason, they became friends in a way that is mysterious. And David loved Jonathan, but apparently Jonathan loved David more. During Bible study today, somebody observed that the engine behind this relationship was Jonathan. David responded, but Jonathan was actually the one driving relationships. It's very easy to say, oh, let's imitate Jonathan because he did something that is so special and spiritual. But I want to talk briefly about the setting in which Jonathan lived. He was the son of Saul, the first king of Israel. A man I think is a very unfortunate person, in the sense that he became king because the people asked God to give them a king so that it can be like their neighbors. And in 1 Samuel 12, Samuel made it clear that the request for a king was rebellion against God. So from the beginning, Saul was very unlikely to succeed. So he set out his life trying to impress, trying to do what he can. But Samuel was always ready and eager to point out that he was a failure. At the first instance when Samuel did not keep an appointment for 7 days, and Saul wanted to ask God for help because the Philistines were around, and he went to sacrifice unto the Lord to inquire. And just as he did that, Samuel appeared. What have you done? And there he pronounced that the God has removed the kingship from him and given it to a neighbor. So right from that, Jonathan knew somehow that although he is a prince, God has said that the kingdom, the kingship, had been removed from his father's place. I ask, how many of us here will be glad at that in their lives? You know that naturally you will be the next CEO of your company. Naturally, you'll be the next king of your country. But somehow, a prophet comes and says, it won't happen. I don't think we are being real if we say that Jonathan should rejoice about it. I don't think he did. Then let's talk about Jonathan himself. I ask, was Jonathan a success? Or was he a failure? Let's think about it. He's a prince who would not be king. He's a guy who went to war to act as a prince to demonstrate that he is able to defend his country. But apparently, whatever he does not work. Because in 1 Samuel 14, he took the initiative. He asked God if he should attack the Philistines. He got clearance. He did that. And he smote, as the Bible would say, the Philistines. He put them to rout. Halfway, his father came and joined the battle. And they defeated the enemies. But in the night, when his father asked God, should I go in the night to fight the Philistines? God did not answer. So Saul wanted to find out why God has not answered. And before Saul had a chance to cast lot to find out whether the error was between him, from him or from Jonathan, Jonathan confessed that he ate honey, even though Saul had bound other soldiers on oath not to eat anything until evening. But note, Jonathan was not there when that oath was taken. I think that Saul, in his impulsiveness, believed that Jonathan was the cause of the reason why God did not answer him. And therefore, he threatened to kill Jonathan. This story tells me that even when Jonathan is doing something good, life was tough for him. Studying this passage, it was clear to me that it wasn't the honey that Jonathan ate that made God not to answer. The problem could have been with Saul. If you think about it deeply, it's simply that God did not want Saul and Jonathan to go in the night and finish off the Philistines. Because God needed the Philistines to launch the kingship of David at the right time. The battle between Goliath and David was a launching pad for his kingship. So when things happen, we sometimes are too eager to find explanations around us, but it's important that we think about the big plan of God. Jonathan is a man who died fairly young. And on the day he died, his father died, his brothers died, and his son had an accident and became crippled. On the same time, I ask you, this picture, does it paint the picture of a successful person? Would you like to be like Jonathan? Growing up, I did ask that question. Why did my father name me after him? I wasn't impressed. I would like to be the king if I'm a prince. I would like to win a battle and be praised for it. Instead of somebody attempting to kill me, I would like to have my children to be healthy and strong and succeed in life. These did not happen to Jonathan. So in a way, he was a failure. So why do we study him today? In the Bible study, we discussed the very many good things he did. He challenged his father on behalf of his friend to stop him from killing David. He pledged loyalty to David, even though David was bound down to him as a prince. So, why are we studying Jonathan? That's the question I've kept asking myself. Why should we study him? The only answer I got was, this is a man who did something that's unnatural and unusual because of only one thing. He believed in God Almighty and knows that whatever God says will be. He had absolute faith in God and knows that what God has said will come to pass. So instead of being annoyed or angry and joining his father to kill David, he chose God's side against his father's side. That's why we study Jonathan. I ask you again, how many of us here would have a child who's going to secondary school and is about to enter university to study medicine or engineering? And then after the exams, he didn't get in immediately. You took your child to the university and asked, why not admit my child? At the same time, another parent was in the same situation, and two of you were seeking to get admission for your child. And then the university says, oh, there's only one chance left in medicine. Which one of you will take it? before you could raise your voice, your son says, "Daddy, let my friend go. I've vowed to him that I'll do everything to protect him." How many will be happy? But that's exactly what Jonathan did. So I was puzzled by this man. And the only explanation I can find in the Bible is in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, let me see. Verse 5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ had. Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. I could read this again to say, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset that was in Jonathan, who, being a prince and had the nature of a king, but did not think of it as something to cling on to. And he took the nature of an ordinary person and protected the man who was contesting for the throne with him, and even gave his life in the process. This is the only explanation I could get. Jonathan, to me, is an image of Christ. And these two people were only able to do this because they had absolute and complete faith in God. Otherwise, everything Jonathan did would be humanly stupid. When the study today, I think it was one of our brothers who said, the thing that Jonathan did, for instance, is speaking against his father in protection of David showed that he had no emotional intelligence. Because ordinarily, what you advise is, in such a situation, you keep quiet. But no, he was not going to keep quiet. The reason why he was doing things that are unnatural to us is because of the absolute faith he has in God. Let me repeat. Jonathan knew that what God said will happen. And he was given a choice to be on the side of his father and try to use human power to take the kingship. Or he will align himself with the will of God. Even though that will of God was inconvenient for him, it was painful for him, it was not normal for everybody in the world for a prince not to be the king, but he accepted it. And having accepted the will of God, then he manifested that faith through his extreme love for David, to protect David, to ensure that he is part of the process of fulfilling God's promises. So we're studying Jonathan today because he's an example for us to decide a priori that we will be part and parcel of fulfilling God's plan on earth. Otherwise, he's a sorry person. if he did not act from the depth of his love from Christ, he would be like that your son who said, give the place to my friend and you become her grumbling. What's wrong with him? So the extreme friendship between Jonathan and David is a manifestation of a deep faith Jonathan had in God. He was faithful unto death, but faithfulness itself alone is not evidence of goodness. Many children go to school and they get inducted in cults and things like that, and they remain faithful in those. But that does not bring approval from God. So, what do we take home? Our take home is simple. Jonathan acted like Christ, who gave himself up for other people's benefit. When he and when Christ realized that they were in the will of God. Remember the Christ's prayer at Gethsemane? How I wish this cup would pass me by. How? This is not comfortable. This is painful. I would rather that I don't go to the cross. But not my will, but yours. I can almost feel it, Jesus said. This throne was nearly mine. I would rather that I be the one who replaces my father on the throne. But not my will, but yours. That's the lesson of Jonathan. And in Bible study, we said, in what practical ways can this be manifest? My answer simply is, if you know the will of God about something, about a person, like Jonathan, if you choose to be part of the process and activities that will help to fulfill God's will on earth. One practical will of God is that Christian families will be strong, loving, and successful. Because when we come here to join people together, we said marriage was God's idea, isn't it? We said that God invented marriage. So he's interested in making sure that Christian marriages are strong and successful. So, you can't tell me I don't know the will of God about marriage. So, if you know the will of God about marriage, then you should dedicate yourself, like Jonathan, to make sure that you are part of the fulfillment of God's purpose for marriage. Because it's an express will of God. If God made you to look black, it tells me that's the will of God for you. Don't fight it. Don't go bleaching. Don't go worrying. Because accept God and be the best black person you can be. And also, for our friends in the West, if God made you a man, please remain a man. Because it's clear that if we want to live outside the will of God and his purpose, it is fraught with problems. Abigail and her husband saw David when David was in trouble. But their response to David, a stranger, were in two different areas. Her husband said, why should I give my food to this silly stranger? The wife says, when she was informed, I will carry bread and water to David. One died very shortly, the husband. The other became a queen. David married Abigail. But you know, what Abigail did is part of the express will of God. And she chose to be part of the process to fulfill the will of God. What was it? God has asked us to take care of the stranger, the poor, the weak, the one in distress. And David fulfilled this description. Her husband did not obey this command, and he paid for it. Abigail did. But above all, there is one more express will of God that I want to touch on. But before I do that, I'll say, some people challenge today and say, look, well, Jonathan was lucky. He heard God through Samuel saying he will not be king. So it was easy for him to accept. For me, it's not always clear what the will of God is or his plan, so I can choose. I agree with you, sometimes it's difficult to figure out what God's plan and purpose in the situation is. But today's sermon is not about how to find the will of God. Today's sermon is, when you do, what will you do? Today's sermon is about, if you know the will and purpose of God in a situation, and it happens to be not comfortable for you, it happens to be not the expectations you had, it happens to be not in your favor, Jonathan says, what will you do? And his answer is, I would rather believe God and stay on the God side than to be on the side of even my father, who had the power to kill David and make sure that God's purpose will not come to pass. So, I request all of us to try and seek to understand God's plan in a particular situation. That's why I use some of the ridiculous things like your color and your gender, because those things are clearly, if God made me this way, I'm this way anyway. But there's another express will of God I must touch on today. So if you have decided, like Jonathan, to be on God's side, than on the convenient side, and you have not obeyed this particular special expressed will and purpose of God, this is your chance. God said, he looked at us, children of Adam and Eve, and found that there's no way we can meet his standard. He sent his only begotten Son so that we can believe in him and be brought back to him, so that the rooms that Christ is preparing in heaven, your name will be on one door. If you don't know any express will of God, you know that God wants sinners to repent. There's no quibbling about it. You know that God wants you to return to him. That God wants you to be his child. That God wants you to put him first in everything in your life. I dare say, sometimes it can be uncomfortable. Sometimes it can be painful. But it cannot be more painful than Jonathan giving up his throne to support his friend who was the upstart. So, why will you not accept God's invitation to give your life to him. This is far easier than the choice that Jonathan made, because this is also full of promises of reward. Then your life will be hid in Christ in the hand of God if you did this. Is there anyone who has not surrendered his life to God through Christ? This message is for you today. Jonathan will be your friend. But if you have, then let's go back to what was said last week. Return to your first love. If you have made that choice before now, are you being as faithful to Christ, your friend, as Jonathan is faithful to David? This is the message for today. If you have not known Christ, today is time. Now is the hour. If you have, are you being faithful to your friend Jesus Christ, who in John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servants, I call you my friend. Then he expects us to be as loyal and faithful to him, or even more than Jonathan was to David. Let us pray. I'll give a chance for those who have not made a commitment to Christ, who want to become born again. You stand up on your seat and pray, inviting him into your life and asking him to make it possible for you to be part of his plan for your life. Tell him you choose God's purpose for you rather than your expectation as a human being, or the expectation of your father or your mother or your friends, which makes it possible for you, if you do that, to ignore the eyes looking at you, the challenges that you meet on the way back home. Our sermon today says, when you know the will of God, it's best for you to be part of that will, even if it is painful. That's the example of Jonathan. So I would like now to pray for those who stood up, or who chose not but still have prayed. Therefore, Lord, O God, you said that whoever God gives you, you will not turn back. And none that you have can be taken away from you. Lord, I pray for those who have today heard that it is your will and purpose for them to return to you, and they have repented in their hearts and asked you to come into their hearts to make them your children. Lord, according to your word, receive them in Jesus' name. Fill them with your spirit so that you'll be the guide for their lives. And Lord, we pray for those of us who have, for some time, for a long time, or recently, committed ourselves to you. Help us to be faithful to you, even as Jonathan was to David. Lord, I pray for Christian couples and families, that even as David and Jonathan were friends and they grew their friendship into a covenant that was so deep and strong that they were willing to die for each other, we pray that you, by your grace, help our families and our couples to realize that marriage, the institution we are in, is God's expressed will and purpose for us. And that we pray that you give us your grace to be faithful in that covenant, even as Jonathan was in his covenant. Hear us, O Lord, and do much more than this for us, for we pray in Jesus' name.